We are a family church, and we're blessed to have all ages of people here. You know, you've got tots, little kids, babies, and on up through we got teens and some young couples, younger couples, and some of us older guys. And we have a good time here, usually, and that's good. But let's think about some of the definitions of a family. What is a family? What do you consider to be a family? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not two mamas. It's not two daddies. It's a mother and a father and kids. That's the immediate family. Then we have what we call an extended family, which includes, you know, grandparents and maybe sometimes cousins and all this. The Bible says this. The word for family in the Old Testament, at least, is a circle of relatives. That's a pretty good definition. And some of the definitions in the Bible say a family is a unit united by blood. Well, I think that describes a church family pretty well, wouldn't you? A circle of relatives that are related by blood. We're related by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing, isn't it? But a family is a place to belong. Family is a place where love is shown. Family is a place where you show kindness one to another. And we could go on and talk a lot about the family, but in the family, excuse me, there's a lot of do's and don'ts and duties, aren't there? What are some of the do's? Well, let's go over to Ephesians. Before we go on to the do's, let's just look at chapter 5 for a minute. Many times at weddings, we use this passage, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 25 through down a ways here, down to verse 28, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And just reading that far, but that tells us the core of the family is a mother and a father. When you get down in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture an admonition of the Lord." So this includes the parents and the children. Now, why is the family important? The family is the backbone of society. Every family group is like a vertebrae on top of another. And that's the backbone of society. And God made it that way. God created the family and put the family together for a purpose. And as we look at this morning, we want to think of some of those purposes why God created the family. And I think part of that is that the family unit is a picture of that relationship that the people of God have with him. You think about that, because why do we have what we call a family church? Because we're fulfilling the picture of the human family. Now let's think about some do's. Some do's, some things we should do in the family. And I'm going to have to look around at my, for my, my notes are not here, so for I'm going to look, I have to look a little bit for my scriptures here, but I know basically where they are. But in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and let's start at verse 21. It says, well, let's start at verse 20. For you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. That's the former lifestyle. That's one thing we have to do in a family, is we have to have the right kind of a lifestyle if you're going to get along with everybody in the family. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he's talking here about salvation. And when you're saved, you've still got that old nature. You've got to put him off, and you've got to put on the new man. That is, you're going to live according to what Christ has said salvation is. You're a new person in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us the old man is passed away and the new man has come. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he tells us that. But here in chapter 4, he says in verse 25, putting away lying. You ever lie to your mom and dad and get caught? Back in the day when I was a kid, if you got caught, it was big trouble. Today, I don't think parents do too much of that. Punishing children for things. Thanks to Dr. Spock, who, by the way, kind of repented of that when he was older and apologized for leading a whole generation astray by telling them they never should spank the children. Corporal punishment is wrong and all of this. But Bible is very clear on that, doesn't it? In Proverbs, he says, spare the rod, spoil the child. He also says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So we shouldn't ever not chastise our kids or correct them when they're doing things that are wrong. Because a family, that's it's just not acceptable, is it? I remember sitting around the table and sometimes we'd get a little foolish in our talk and everything. And my dad would say, sometimes we'd sing, and he'd say, if you sing at the table, you'll cry before you go to bed. Usually it was true, too. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think. But, you have to have a unity in the family. You have to have all these, you can't have everybody fighting all the time in the family. Especially when you get a family of nine kids, you know, you can't not have some unity. You can't not show love. But he goes on here in verse 27. Don't give place to the devil. By the way, you'll notice that all these things that we're talking about in the family apply equally to the church family, don't they? Don't give place to the devil. What's that mean? Well, it's a kind of a military term. And it literally means don't give the devil an operating base. If you're in a battle somewhere and the enemy is building a base in your territory where he can attack you, that's not acceptable. And yet, we do that with the devil sometimes in our lives. We let him have a little place in our lives where he can operate. You can imagine what happens. You know, you say, I'm giving everything to the Lord, but I'm going to keep this little area right here because I like it. By doing that, you give the devil a place to attack you whenever he wants to, and he knows how to do that. And where he attacks you the most is up here in the mind, isn't it? That's why in our Bible here in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us an armor, and part of that armor is the helmet of salvation. That means save your mind, really. Keep it from those fiery darts that Satan likes to fire at us. And he does that very easily when he has a territory in our lives. He has a place. And then he goes on. Let him that stole steal no more. Stealing was never an acceptable thing in a family. I know of a kid years ago, his mother was diabetic. And she used to keep money. She called her butter and egg money. She left it there in a secret place for medications, for insulin and stuff. And this kid used to go, he found it, he used to go and get it, and he'd buy candy and all this stuff. So when she went to get medicine, the money was gone. You know, that's in the family. So these things are not permitted. And we were taught young, you know, don't steal. It's not ever right to steal. We could spend some time on that, but we're not going to take a lot of time this morning. You know pretty well what stealing is. And another thing it says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Work. A big family is always work to do. Always. We'll be talking a little more about that when we get to the duties. But some things to know that we need to not steal, but to work, to help out with the family. And he says, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'm amazed at things I hear kids say, not necessarily in our midst here, but out in public. Things you hear kids say that they could have only learned at home, which are shocking. When I moved down here, it was kind of like a culture shock for a short time, because I'd hear these kids in stores using language that I wasn't used to hearing. on the streets or in public.